This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So last night's All-Star game, the American League continuing its dominance of the National League. They went 4-3 and now have won 7 straight. Hard to pick an MVP last night. You could have given it to Michael Brantley, who drove in the only run or first run of the game for the American League. Maybe give it to Joey Gallo, who had a solo home run. You could have given it to Pete Alonso, who made some good defensive plays and had 2 RBIs, although the NL did lose. So maybe they didn't want to go down that road. Instead, what they did in voting for the MVP, I thought, was to highlight one of the more significant moments of the game, and that was to give it to Shane Bieber, the Cleveland Indians starting pitcher, who came in the 5th inning and struck out the side. Because the game was in Cleveland, and because not only that, Bieber was a late addition to the AL roster. He replaced Mike Minor of the Texas Rangers, who pitched on Sunday. But that moment in the game where the crowd is on its feet and they're chanting Bieber's name, and Terry Francona is excitedly looking on, watching his pitcher strike out the side for the American League and helping the AL win this game, I think that was a great, it was one of the better moments for the All-Star game. I thought the All-Star game was filled with really good moments, but I think that was one of the better moments of the All-Star game. And to sort of highlight that and say, look, one inning, struck out the side. Aroldis Chapman struck out the side. There were 16 strikeouts for the American League, so everybody did their part. But we're going to give it to Shane Bieber because in the 5th inning, this was the most, the moment that really captured what this game was to the venue, to the American League, and also highlighted the one thing that you can take away from this game statistically. In a game in which the American League pitchers had 17 strikeouts, let's give it to the MVP of the hometown favorite, late addition to the game, who got 3 and did so against really good batters of Ronald Acuna Jr., Kettle Marte, and Wilson Contreras. Fantastic performance by Bieber. One inning of work, that's all he needed. Struck out the side and earned the MVP. Good on the voters to recognize that, because in a game that is meant to highlight what is good about baseball, the crowd on their feet and watching that performance and him delivering that performance for not only the American League, but for the hometown crowd, that's a most valuable player. And I'm glad he got the award.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you've been with us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I just got caught, Ron, in this little rabbit hole of watching this magic trick online. Somebody posted this magic trick of this guy with beer and wine. He's pulling it out of a bag. You know what's funny about magic is that I don't know how far, like in 10 years, what will people be doing for magic tricks? Levitating lions or something? I mean, all of these tricks have been done before.
Don't they already do that?
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. Like, how do you do a trick? If you're a magician, how do you make a trick that's never been done before, or a variation of, like, you could pull, instead of pulling like a rabbit out of your hat, you could pull a raccoon out of your hat, but that's still the same trick. And somehow, like, I'm watching this trick of a guy, he's pulling glasses of beer out of like sleeves and bags that are that are practically empty, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, this is a pretty good trick, but I mean, after a while, don't you think all of it's been done?
There's one that I saw just recently where the guy literally like was making cards disappear right in front of your eyes.
Jeez! Or like, turning, wow!
Or, I mean, he had this whole gimmick where he put this white piece of tape down the middle of this green felt board, and he put a red card at the top and the blue card at the top. So then he would pick up a card and it would be blue, like, you know, the back of the card would be blue. And then he would just kind of flip it over this white line, and then the card would turn red. And I didn't quite understand that.
That's amazing.
It was really fascinating to watch it. And then, you know, then he like slid the card underneath. I don't know. It was like he did all these neat little tricks with it. And I think that's what magic is coming to. It's not just doing the trick. It's the showmanship that goes with it.
Exactly. There was only one magician that I remember watching. Well, I should say there's a couple of more. There's a couple more now, but I remember one particular magician in the 90s, David Blaine.
Yep.
That I honestly felt was a warlock, like was actually using real magic.
See, I used to think that, but now I've transitioned to just them being aliens.
Yeah, right. There's something along those lines, right? Like there's a video of David Blaine in Harrison Ford's house.
Yes.
Where he has Harrison Ford cut a piece of fruit, and the card is in the piece of fruit. And I don't know how he made that. I don't know how he did that. I don't want to know how he did that. I'm sure there's a method how he got the fruit in the,
and,
you know.
And if I remember correctly.
I don't care.
If I remember correctly, in that video, there Harrison Ford does drop, invite him to leave.
Yes.
Non-courteously, I guess.
Yeah, get the bleep out of my house, he says to David Blaine. He was with the Knicks, right? And
David
he did
Blaine?
A card trick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, David Blaine. Yeah, David Blaine. David Blaine was at Knicks practice camp or something, whatever it was. And he had a bunch of Knicks players. And he did a card trick. And he said, pick a card, blah, 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 pick a card. Then he said, take this knife or this scissors or whatever. He goes, stab that basketball. Take that basketball. He stabbed the basketball. The card was in the basketball.
Yeah.
Inside the basketball.
I don't get it. There is
now
one,
it's one thing to say to get the card in the basketball and then make them pick the card, and I get all that. But sometimes I'm watching this going,
There was one recently with there's a magician who won America's Got Talent, Matt Franco, and he did something very similar to Rob Gronkowski, which I thought was the perfect person to pull that trick on.
Okay, so what? Oh,
he pretty much
refresh my memory.
What he did was he took Rob Gronkowski's phone, put it in, and I don't know how he did it, but he put it inside a football that they could actually throw. And then he told Rob to go ahead and just toss that ball as far as he could. And so Rob threw it, or Gronk threw it as far as he could. And then he said, okay, let's call. And the phone started ringing. And he took a knife to the phone. And there
oh
was,
my
and
God.
The ball was inside the phone. I don't get how you do that. There's some magic I can figure out.
Yeah,
you know, there's
me too. Yeah.
I understand. Like, okay, you did this, you did that. And then there's others that I just look at. I'm like, yeah, you're an alien.
You're not
of this world.
There's somewhere I go, this is no matter.
And somewhere along the line, I do believe Men in Black was a documentary of sorts.
Good point. There's a good, if you like magic, and there used to be, I don't know if it's still on, I just see highlights of it, called Fool Us with Penn and Teller.
Yes.
Where people do tricks. I'm always impressed by that because you're talking about two of the smartest magic minds in the business that know everything. I mean, they know how everything is done, right? Make a lion levitate. We know how it's done. Make this come out of your shoe. We know how that's done, right? They know everything. And when you can fool them, and some magicians have, that's a special gift. And that is a really, really special gift to be able to pull off a trick in which good magicians, smart magicians, don't know the trick. And they do a good job of not telling people how you did it. They protect the act.
Yeah, I remember, was it the late 90s or early 2000s where it was the masked magician?
Yeah, the masked magician had a TV show where he's blowing all the tricks up and he's saying, oh yeah, you like the saw the lady in half? You know, this is how they do it. Oh, you like the card trick where he eats it and it comes back out in a flower? I'll tell you how he does that too. Or you sign the card and somehow it magically appears. This is how he does it. Like all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, okay. It's always disappointing to me when I find out how a magic trick's done.
Right.
There's a moment where I go, oh my God, how did you do that? But then when they tell me how to do it, and I'm like, okay. So basically it's that
yeah,
with
I
a lot
stupid.
Of practice. Yeah, I'm like, oh. So you basically practice that move for 10 hours a day for 2 years. You know, like, oh, the way you were able to take the card, flip it into your sleeve, and make it come out the other end. Because you have a contraption in your suit
yep.
or something that takes the card in one sleeve, brings it to your other sleeve.
I want to believe that you're either, like you said, a warlock, or I think it's an alien.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to believe that.
That's what I want to believe. Like, if a magician said, you want to know how I did this trick? Here's how I did this trick. I used real magic because I'm from the planet, you know, Orc.
Or...
Right?
Or, you know, I used real magic and I'm actually Merlin. I'm you know, over 1,000 years old, but I keep myself looking young because you don't
know.
That's
right. I've been slipping through the cracks of time. And I know exactly how this is done.
I want to believe Hogwarts exists and that I'm a muggle and I just can't see it.
It's crazy. But I am one of those people that, every night, like on Facebook or Twitter, somebody will post like, hey, check out this from America's Got Talent or check this out. And I'll watch it and my wife will say something to me and I'll go, wait. And it's usually magic tricks that I get caught into. I mean, literally the house could be on fire and I'll be like, I will leave in a minute. I swear I'll leave in a minute. Look, he ate the card and he spit it out and it came out intact. Wow. That's amazing. And then I'll go do whatever I have to do.
I'll grab the hose now.
I'm a victim of that. Like you want to distract me while you rob my house? Send me 5 magic tricks in social media and I'll watch them. You can just come right on in and take what you want.
Yeah, just don't take the computer because then I'll know.
Right. If you take the laptop that I'm on while I'm watching the video, I will know.
Yeah,
but
I'll call
you
the
know,
cops.
You want a new couch? You want some, you know, you want a bed set? You want whatever has got in this house? Just give me like 5 magic tricks and help yourself. That's basically how it works. I'm just a sucker for that. I don't know why. I just get a sucker for that. I'm a sucker for 2 things, I think, when it comes to my super attention outside of sports, is good documentaries and these magic tricks. I don't know why. Documentaries drive me insane. I cannot leave them. I watched one yesterday before the All-Star game on Chris Farley that was mind-boggling how good it was. I had no idea about Chris Farley's background other than he was the fat guy on Saturday Night Live that made me laugh when I was a young man. Really made me laugh. And he was in Tommy Boy, and I love Tommy Boy, and he was in Black Sheep, and I liked that movie too. And then died at 33 years old. That was all I knew about the background of Chris Farley. And then I watched this documentary, and you know when you know somebody has impacted you in such a way? When your friends, 20 years later, start talking about you and they start crying when you die. Like that, Chris Farley had like John Goodman and Tom Arnold and all the actors on Saturday Night Live. They would start talking about Chris Farley and then they would just choke up. And this is 20 years later, 22 years later.
Or so much to the point where, his best friend in the whole world, David Spade, still won't really talk about it.
Exactly. They still, he affected them so much. And I'm watching that yesterday and I'm not kidding. My wife said, hey, I got dinner ready. And I was like, bring it upstairs. I got to bring it upstairs. I had to TiVo it. I had to watch it later. I mean, it was so good. It was, and I get warped into that. I think there's some really good documentaries that are being done that expose, you know, what things in our life we should know about, right? The way food is made, maybe the gas leaks or whatever it is. There's some good documentaries. They all have an agenda. So you have to watch these documentaries with an agenda. But the ones that sort of are bioptic, you know, the ones that talk about somebody's life, the one that really says, yep, you think this sports hero was this kind of guy? Well, he had this background, or this actor has this background, or he impacted people in this way. I just find that fascinating and I can't seem to turn away. I love them. So magic tricks and documentaries, that's how you get me. All right, coming up, we'll talk more about the All-Star game last night. Good for baseball. We also got our good funny Steve Gardner is going to join us from USA Today. We'll talk to him about that as well as baseball celebrated its own sport last night with its All-Star game. Some of the good and bad moments from the game as we continue on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So again, I enjoyed the All-Star game last night. I think it was a good showcase for baseball. There were a lot of cool moments in that game. Did you see that one play Max Muncy made where he dove to the ground and he was on the ground and almost threw out that runner? Just by tech, he kind of bobbled the ball coming out of his glove when he went down on the ground to dive for it. And it was funny because, like, Fox, you know, Joe Buck and John Schmoll's like, yeah, well, he didn't field it cleanly. That just cost him just a split second. I'm like, he dove to the ground. He's dove to the ground to get
stars.
That ball.
They're supposed to make these plays cleanly every
He didn't field it clean enough. He dove to the ground and got it out of his – he couldn't get it out of his glove because he was falling to the ground. But while he was on the ground, he threw it to Pete Alonso in just a good throw that Alonso was able to catch, but it was just a little too late. But that was
Alonso's fault than Matt Muncy's fault.
Yeah, that's right. Alonso was mic'd up. There was one moment where Alonso was mic'd up. There's a ground ball to second, fielded and thrown to him, and he said afterwards he did not think he caught the back of the bag, and then realized he did. Like, that was a really cool moment where he's like, I don't think I got the bag. And then, like, oh, wait, I did. Yeah, I did. But it was neat because if it, you know, I my first thought was, oh, wait, could they go to the replay? And I'm like, nah, they ain't going to no replay. It's the All-Star game. But it was the miking up of the players was really cool. I was happy that Francisco Lindor is so excited to be living in Cleveland. That's his town. He kept saying that. It's my city. He was telling the umpires, whatever you guys want, my city. Very nice to celebrate the city of Cleveland. Which, can we say, and I haven't been to Cleveland in a long time. I was there only once. Cleveland seems to have made a comeback as a city.
Well, I mean, you know, they still want to be Cleveland against the world.
Right. But still.
I don't know. It's this weird thing where it feels like Cleveland and Detroit are still competing with each other. About who's worst in America?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel like, I feel like Cleveland has kind of turned around because some of those aerial shots, like, you know, before it got dark, because obviously every city looks great at night. But some of the aerial shots when you see downtown, I know it's all staged and the lighting's perfect, but I'm like, you know what? That looks like a fun place to hang out.
Exactly. And then it wasn't that long ago. There's a sort of a famous funny parody video of the city of Cleveland that talks about how terrible everything is. Right. And it says, you know, like, this house looks like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. That, I mean, it's just always picking on the city, but it seems like, you know, the city has made a really nice comeback. It seemed, you know, whether it was how it was featured on Hard Knocks. And again, I get it. You're right. I mean, when you get a big event, like you get an All-Star game or something big and important, you're going to see the best of the best of the best. Nashville had that when the draft was here. It's the best of the best of the best. All the shots make Nashville and the surrounding areas seem like, oh, this is just a beautiful place. And there are rundown areas in every city. There's some plight in every city. But it does feel like the if somebody made a Cleveland is a terrible place, a awful place joke, you'd probably not find it as funny as you did, let's say, 10 to 15 years ago. Because it felt like 10, 15 years ago, it was, right? It just, you know, it felt like the city was, you know, just trying to find its way back and just, you know, decimated through industry or whatever. But it doesn't feel that way anymore. I feel, and again, I haven't been there in a very long time, but it feels like if you make a Cleveland joke, you're reaching for a joke that is very old. And it's not the same way anymore.
What's that saying? It's like, it's just old hat.
It's just old hat.
Low-hanging fruit.
Like, we've done this before, but it's not really true. You know, like, look, the Indians play in a nice place. There's a nice new arena for the Cavaliers. There's a new stadium for the Browns. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That was the one thing I was shocked about. I didn't realize how close the stadium and the arena were.
Yeah, it's all all together, right?
They're separated by... It almost felt like they're separated by like 40 feet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of cool.
That's got to be a fun place to hang out.
Yeah, that's going to be a great place to be, right? I mean, I love that aspect of it. It looks, again, the city looked nice. The city was well receptive. It was kind of cool. One other feature of, and again, Jacobs Field / Progressive Field has been around a long time. But I didn't realize that when the pitchers warm up, that like fans are just like right along the railing taking pictures and just watching.
I thought that was cool.
That was really cool. Like, listen, I grew up going to Fenway Park where the bullpen was right in the outfield, yep. But you had to look down in it. It wasn't like you're walking along a concourse and right next to you is this glass plane and a pitcher is warming up right next to you. Right?
Well, like how you and I go to Minute Maid Park to check out an Astros game.
Yeah.
The home bullpen is out in the open, out towards right center field where you could see the players. The visitor bullpen is underneath. Like you can see it from the outfield, but it's almost like they're in a cage.
Oh, no kidding.
It's very strange looking. It's because they have that high wall towards left field.
Right.
So they kind of built it underneath the stadium in a way.
Oh, kind of cool. All right.
But it's like they're excluded from everyone. You can't boo. You know, one of the appeals, having been to Fenway, one of the appeals I had was being on top of the Yankee bullpen and seeing all the Red Sox fans just, give it to the Yankees.
Yeah, totally.
Give it to any the visiting team. And that seems like part of the charm that's be missing in, Minute Maid, where you can't boo the other team because they're not there. You don't see them.
I wonder how many stadiums still have the warm-up on the side of, down the third baseline, first baseline. Like, when you don't have a bullpen.
I think there's still a good handful.
I think in Oakland, they probably still do, right?
I think
Oakland's
much more
an
than
old
that.
Stadium.
I think many more stadiums have it still on the field.
But if you build a stadium, that's not what you're doing. Like, if you're building a new crib, you're like, no, we're building a bullpen area. Because that seems like you're doing it out of necessity rather than design when you build a new ballpark. Who wants to warm up down the first and third base line? That seems ridiculous. You have your own box. You have your own section to sort of go chill out, a little bench to go sit.
I don't know. If I was a relief pitcher, first thing I'd think about is like, down the left field line or right field line, less walking.
That is true.
Less trot to the mound.
You don't get to do that Ricky Vaughn kind of walk in to a game from the outfield kind of thing. You just like you're on the side, like you gotta go on in. Remember, I want to bring back bullpen cars.
Yes.
Remember that?
Well,
I
think the Diamondbacks did.
Yeah. Why aren't we doing that across Major League Baseball? One of the first memories I have as a kid, I was born in Brooklyn and we moved to New Hampshire when I was a kid. But I remember being a kid. I had some Mets gear. I had a Mets helmet bank. I had a Mr. Met doll. But I also remember having a Mets bullpen car model as a kid in my house. And I don't see those at all. Why don't we bring those back? They're just golf carts made out to be looking awesome. Bring those back to baseball. That'll be fun. Or I'm sure they're like, the maintenance of them is just too much. Where are we going to put it? In this big stadium. Listen, if you can make sausage men run around and presidents with big heads run around, you can get me a golf cart strapped with a big hat. Let's do that. We'll talk to Steve Gardner coming up from USA Today. His thoughts on Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. And where do we go from here now that we head to the second half of the season? How many home runs are the Yankees and everybody else going to hit in this juiced ball era? That's next, SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Colbert. Here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. All-Star Game last night, another win for the American League, making seven in a row. Steve Gardner, USA Today, joins us on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Before we get to the actual game, Steve, the simulated game that you wrote about did predict the final score. So Ron and I are concerned that are the robots going to just, take over now if they can get the All-Star Game right in a simulation?
I'll tell you what, that simulation, we're getting really close. If you get robot umps, eventually, then maybe that's the next step.
That's right.
Cut down on the injuries.
As far as the game last night, listen, I was entertained by it. I thought it was great. 16 strikeouts for the American League. So I'm thinking that last night was very good for baseball.
Yeah, I think so. It was a nicely played game, and there was a lot of drama. There was some action, which I think baseball is a little worried about having stolen bases down and things like that people remember from previous years, and it wasn't the home run slugfest that the game has pretty much become this season in the last couple of years. So yeah, I think it was a throwback, a lot of memories for the folks in Cleveland about the players that had been there, Michael Brantley, CC Sabathia. a lot of just good feeling, I think, all around from the city of Cleveland.
It was amazing to me when I had to kind of step back and think about it, how young a lot of these all-stars are. What does that say about where the level of the game is and what the level of the kids coming up are at?
I'll tell you, I think it says a lot, because this game, you're seeing these young players, you know, despite all the concerns about contracts and arbitration and free agency and all of that, you're seeing the best players make it to the major leagues really quickly. And, you know, you've got Francisco Lindor was one of them. Ronald Acuna was there. You know, these guys are younger and younger, it seems like, and they are ready to play when they get there. And I think this is a great thing for Major League Baseball to have these young stars. The question is, now, how does baseball market these guys? Can they take it to a level that, you know, like the NBA does, where these guys are household names, you recognize their faces, you don't need an introduction? I think that's where Major League Baseball needs to take the marketing of the game to the next level. And I don't really know exactly how they do that, but last night, you know, with the home run derby, you had Vladimir Guerrero and Pete Alonso, two rookies in the final. That was compelling television, and I think that's part of what baseball needs to do, is to take the youth and let the kids play, as they say.
Yeah, and it also goes back to, listen, I get it. There's going to be always some development for some players, and they have to be in the minors a little longer. But we weren't that long ago discussing the merits of whether or not Kyler Murray should stay with the A's and play baseball or go right to the NFL and be a starting quarterback. And baseball seems to lose out on that argument all the time. I don't know if it's by design, but does it benefit baseball to say, hey, look, if you're one of our top picks, you're not going to be in the minors until you're 25 years old?
Yeah, that's a huge point. And for Kyler Murray, especially being a quarterback, where you know, you get the visibility, you get the pay, and you get the rules protecting you, it was a no-brainer for him. I mean, he was going to have to go to the minor leagues and spend, you know, 3-4 years on buses before he would be called up. Yeah, I think baseball needs to at least address that to get the athletes, the guys that could play several different sports, to choose baseball. I mean, once upon a time, you know, Dave Winfield had pro offers in three sports. He chose baseball. I think that's something that that the league needs to take a close look at, because I think it starts with making sure that those minor leaguers, you know, get a decent wage. And that's been something that was put in the background, I think, this All-Star game, but has been brought up in previous years.
Steve Gardner, USA Today, talking about Major League Baseball and the All-Star game last night. Steve, in terms of your knowledge of this game and all of the things that are going around on the field, off the field, how's the pulse of the sport? Is the sport really healthy, semi-healthy, still needs some work, in terms of where the American public is taking it in 2019?
I think baseball, you know, it's more of a regional than a national sport. You look at some of the cable ratings for the individual cities, and they're really good. The support for the teams is really good. I think what baseball has an issue with, right now at least, is the fact that there are a lot of teams that are not competitive. And when you get, that's where I think the concern about attendance being down, it's not so much in the teams that are really good. They're still drawing plenty of fans to the ballpark. It's those teams that are going through the rebuilding phase and are being, you know, transparent about it. Yet we are rebuilding. We are selling off some of our veterans. We are looking to acquire younger players and build the farm system. And I think when you get so many of those teams going through what the Orioles and the Royals and teams like that are doing, then I think that's where you start worrying about you know, competitive balance and things like that. So I think baseball as a whole, it's very healthy. It's still a great game, and it still can produce compelling games. But in terms of, you know, having that national presence, number one, and like we were talking about earlier about, you know, marketing some of the stars, and having the teams that you know, seem to be tanking, I think that is an issue that needs to be addressed somehow if baseball is going to, you know, continue to be a very popular sport and compete with some of the others.
Major League Baseball, how is it handling Justin Verlander's juice ball comments? I would think that this can be seen by some as sort of sour grapes, given that he's given up a lot of home runs this season. But is there a shred of truth that maybe this is a factor in why we're seeing a lot of home runs?
Well, I don't think there's any question that the baseball is different, and that's one of the reasons why we're seeing balls go out of the ballpark at a record rate. I mean, they're going to smash the record for home runs in a season this year, and it's not really going to be close. So he certainly does, and as pitchers, when that's threatening your livelihood, I can see why pitchers would be upset. I've talked to several pitchers who say, yeah, the ball is slipperier, it's slicker, and Major League Baseball has kind of, you know, at least tacitly agreed that there is something different. I think what the pitchers are upset about is that Major League Baseball has often said that, oh, it's nothing we can control, you know, we're not doing it intentionally. I think that comes off a little disingenuous when Major League Baseball owns the company that makes the baseballs. And I think that's what Justin Verlander, one of his main criticisms, was that, okay, you have the ability to control this or do something with it. Now, why aren't you doing something, number one? And, you know, can you at least make something it's a little bit fairer to us pitchers?
Is there a way that they, because again, if you're Major League Baseball, this is good for the game. People like seeing home runs, but there's also a segment of your workforce that doesn't like giving them up and certainly doesn't like the statistics that are based around that. Is there a fine line that baseball can play here? It seems like manipulating the baseball, yes, it can produce some really exciting moments for the fans, but it also throws a lot of the statistical variances out of whack that baseball fans genuinely don't like when it happens.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that was sort of brought up a little bit over the course of All-Star Week is that, okay, is the baseball the only thing that's causing these records? And baseball fans are really attached to the numbers and history and all that sort of thing. So it wasn't necessarily that Barry Bonds was doing steroids, and it was that he was breaking these hallowed records from baseball history. And I think that's one of the things that makes people the most upset. And now you've got all these home runs flying out. I think the concern is it skews the numbers to where it doesn't fit in the course of baseball history. So I think that's one of the things that baseball has to be concerned about. And, you know, if it's something in the manufacturing process that can bring the home runs down a little bit, maybe that's something that can be looked at. But one of the things that's not going to happen is the analytics of how you win in today's game. You're not going to be able to put that genie back in the bottle. I mean, we're still going to see shifts. We're still going to see, players trying to increase their launch angles because it's good, smart baseball, and that's how you win. And I think people may be seeing the two as related, whereas they're not necessarily. It's the game is evolving, whether you like it or not.
Manny Machado and Bryce Harper not in the All-Star game. Still good game, very competitive. Does it overall, did it hurt at all that those two players who we talked about so much in the offseason not being in that game?
I think a little bit. You know, Bryce Harper won the Home Run Derby last year. He's a very visible guy. You know, talk about marketing the stars. He is one of those guys. Machado, another very recognizable one. So, yeah, anytime you don't have all of the big names there, it does hurt the game a little bit, but it also opens up the possibility of getting to know someone a little bit better, like a Shane Bieber, who was the MVP last night. Probably not on the tips of a whole lot of baseball fans' tongues outside the city of Cleveland, but a good story, a nice, wholesome kind of young pitcher, the fresh face that the game needs to have. So, yeah, I think you get it both ways. You want to have all of the stars there, but even if they are there, they end up playing three, four innings tops. So it's one of those things where it would be nice, but it's not essential that those guys were participating last night.
Steve, one thing we talked about on Tuesday before the All-Star game was the Home Run Derby. And it may seem trivial, seems like just a little afterthought, little fun event. But this is an event that has struggled at times. It has struggled to get players. It has struggled with format. Sometimes it went too long. So it's had its ups and downs, but they never let it go. They never took it away. They just kept refining it. In a way, how important has the Home Run Derby been in All-Star weekend? Because everybody I know loved what they saw Monday.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's one of the things, as the game itself, you know, can drag on a little bit, and we've seen that happen in previous years. The Home Run Derby is something that, you know, the action is fast and furious, and a lot of times the Derby tends to overshadow the game.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe that didn't happen as much this year because the game was pretty good, but still, that was compelling watching. You know, when you have two rookies, two young guys that are the future of baseball going at it, and Vladimir Guerrero, you know, that performance was something that, unlike anything we've ever seen before in the Home Run Derby, you know, 91 total home runs. And I think the format that they have now is a good one. You know, going against the clock and not necessarily, you know, just getting your best pitch and not making an out. I think that has added to the excitement. So I think that's one of the things. MLB knows it has a good thing. People love the long ball. They love to see these professional players do what they do best. And I think it will always be one of the highlights of an All-Star Week because that's the essence of baseball. See the ball, hit it, and hit it an awful long way. And Pete Alonso and Vlad Guerrero Jr. certainly did a great job of that on Monday.
Steve, always good talking to you, my friend. Hope to catch up with you again as the season progresses into the second half. Great stuff, as always. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tony. Take care.
You got it. Steve Gardner, USA Today, Major League Baseball. Yeah, I loved it. I think, yeah, it's, again, it seems trivial. It's just a kind of a small event. But we go back to that conversation about young people, right? If you can get them into something, if they may not like the long nine-inning games, whatever, that Home Run Derby, man, that's really appealing. That is fun. That is at least one time a year you might be able to drag some people outside of the normal baseball fan. It is SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Alrighty, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Baseball back, what, Thursday? Kickstart the second half of the season? Can't wait to see how many more home runs get hit in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I think some games are on Thursday. Not all of them. It's fully
not
back in action
them.
On Friday. Late
yeah.
To the weekend.
As a matter of fact, let me check right now because there's only a handful. Nope, there's only one. There's the Astros and the Rangers.
They're
only
one
scheduled on Thursday. So there you go. And then everybody comes back on Friday. So give these guys a bit of a break and let them chill out and let them come back to work. So there you go. The second half of the season gets underway. God, he is right about one thing about baseball that does stink. Like, they showed the standings last night. They were talking about the AL Central. The Kansas City Royals are 27 games out of first place, and the Detroit Tigers are 26 games out.
Don't call them a comeback.
Baltimore is 30 games out of first place.
And they'll win the pennant this year, Tony.
Half of baseball.
Baltimore, don't lose hope.
30 games out of first place. It's amazing. And then they pointed out the NL Central, and John Smoltz had a good point. I don't know, maybe it was Joe Buck, actually. Every single team in that division at one point this year has been in first place. There are five teams in the Central, and all of them at one point were in first place at some point during the season. That's pretty awesome.
That is.
The Reds are only 4.5 back.
So the Reds... The Pirates are in that division, right? What do they lead? Was
Pirates?
Day one?
Oh, probably day one, probably day two. You know how these statistics work. There's always that one anomaly that's like, well, they were 1-0, and they shared the lead, but it does count, right? It was Smoltz who made that point, and then Buck pointed out, is it excellence or is it mediocrity? Well, yeah, all these teams, they're not as good as we think they are. I mean, the Cubs are only a handful of games above 500 leading the division.
And that's I think that they're the most surprising team.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should be way better than they are.
Exactly. They're no Dodgers or Braves, that's for sure. The Dodgers got 60 wins already. Diamondbacks are 13.5 back in second place in the division. Good luck, Dodgers, man. Cap that thing off in October, okay? Don't give us this, Will. You know, it's postseason. What are you going to do? 60 games by the All-Star break. Win the thing.